Well, you guys, I'm ready to jump into God's Word, and we are launching a new series today called How to Pray. And I cannot think of anything that is more important than spending time on this topic. You know, one of the things that I've continued to be enlightened and shocked by is that I believe as a pastor, prayer is the most important thing in the life of a Christian, and I should say biblically informed prayer. That might be a better way to say that. But I believe prayer is the most important thing in the life of a Christian, talking to God. And I also think it's something that most of us are so bad at. And we don't talk about it. I don't know if we're embarrassed or we just don't want to admit it or what it is. But man, I am just so burdened, but in like convicted in a good way, like assigned. I'm not sure what the right word would be of leaning into how to pray. And so I'm so excited today to do this. And we are right on the cusp of 21 days of prayer. And so a very exciting time. And I want to today do some instructional teaching on how to pray. So instructionally teach how to pray. That's what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks. And I also want to inspirationally kind of prompt you or maybe I'll use the word prod you if needed to pray, to get involved, to talk to God. He's so good and he's so near and available to us and he's so powerful. And we just have this like dynamic invitation in front of us. And so my longing for you and for me is that we would just take it. A.T. Pearson says this. He says, there has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. I'll read it one more time. There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. Now, what does a spiritual awakening mean? Well, spiritual awakening, the way I understand that is what I would call thin spaces. It's like heaven is here and earth is here, and they're both different realms, but they actually do overlap and they actually do touch. And we see that right in the garden in the book of Genesis. God is there, Adam and Eve are there in the created order, and they're walking and talking in the cool of the day. So there's like this intermingling of the two realms. And then we see Jesus actually comes and dies on the cross, but resurrects again in eternal power. And he comes and there's kind of this intermingling. There's this thin space. Jesus is the thin space. The disciples go to the upper room and the Holy Spirit shows up and God's Spirit actually infuses and indwells them. That's like a thin space. And Jesus tells us to pray, right? The Lord's Prayer, which we'll look at in this series, but he says, pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so this idea of thin spaces, spaces where heaven and earth start to touch a little bit, where the air gets thin and the veil gets thin between those two, it's God's presence, it's God's power, it's God's ways, it's his truth invading, it's his grace coming in. It's that time when you're praying and you just felt something different. It's that time when you read the Bible and something jumped off the page. It's that time when you're in a worship service or that time when you were in your car alone driving on a road. It's the time when you laid your head on a pillow at night. I don't know what it's been for you, but it's that thin space where God's presence invades the natural realm. And I believe on earth as it is in heaven, that's the spiritual awakening that A.T. Pearson's talking about. There's never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality. And I believe that a locality could be a city. And that does mean our city. And it does mean our schools and our workplaces. And it does, but it also means our families. And it also means you as a locality. You're a locality. And so there's never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality. There's never been a spiritual awakening in a school, in a city, in a family, in a person without united prayer. And so as we lean in and we begin to learn how to pray, today I want to talk to us about the value of prayer. How do we assign value to prayer? Because prayer is what invites the thin spaces. Prayer is what takes us into the spaces where heaven begins to meet earth. And I know for me here, I want that spiritual awakening in my own life. I want that spiritual awakening in your life. I want that spiritual awakening in our city, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our families. That's what I want. And I want to learn how to pray. What if we could just get a little bit more of his presence? What if we could just get a little bit more of his power? What if we could fall in love just a little bit more? What if we could sense him just a little bit deeper in worship? What would that begin to look like in our life? What would be possible? What would be possible in our perspective and our dreams and the way that we see ourselves? What could change? What in your life could change? And so that's what I want to do, guys. I want to lean into prayer. want to get us into that. And in 2022, man, this is what I want for our church. I want our church to be a praying church. I want our church to be madly and massively in love with Jesus and just want to be with him and to spend time with him. You know, it's funny, the other day, Ben, who's on our team, Ben came over to our house, and he's at the comfort level now. He actually just walks into our house, and he walked into our house, and he went around the corner, and I was sitting in our sunroom, and he came in, and we've got like a table that's got games underneath it, Monopoly and some of the other games, and we have Tiny Towns on there. And he walks in, so he comes in the door, he walks around the corner, he comes in, and he goes, "You have Tiny Towns?" He didn't say hello, didn't say hi, just, "You have Tiny Towns?" He was so excited. He said, "I love that game." He said, I played that game growing up. I love playing that game. It was such fun memories." And he was just going on and on and on. "Well, we just played that game." He was talking about it. And it was interesting because I was actually preparing for this talk, and it just kind of struck me. I didn't say this to him, but it kind of struck me, like, the excitement that he had over Tiny Towns. It's like, "I've played that game. I love that game. I've played that game with other people. Can we play that game?" That we would have that kind of passion and excitement about prayer. It's like, "Oh, I love being with Jesus. I love being with the Father. I love being in his presence. I love being in that place. I love being in that place with other people. Can we be in that place?" And just prayer. So that's my longing for us. So again, today, how to pray, and today specifically, the value of prayer. And I want to talk about the value of prayer and talking about a couple things: the priority of prayer, the place of prayer, and the plan of prayer. And I've taught on these three ideas before, but I think they're so foundational as we learn how to pray that I wanted to start out this series with them. We'll lean into some more things as we move along, but I wanted to get into these three practical things today as we talk about the value of prayer. So number one, if you're taking notes, talking about the value of prayer today and what just some practical things about how we can learn how to pray. Number one is we need to make prayer a priority, the priority of prayer. That's not hard. It's not easy to say that a bunch of times really fast. The priority of prayer. And you know, I think about this. We make food a priority. Isn't it interesting? We plan our food. We plan our meals. We eat, many of us eat three of them a day. Probably for most of us, at least two of them a day. You know, intermittent fasting is like a big thing now in the mornings or whatever, but we make food a priority. We plan it. We grocery shop. We have lists. We have grocery lists. We have click lists now. We order groceries online. You know what? But like, we plan it. We prepare for it. We take time for it. We spend mental energy on it. We make food a priority. Prayer has to be a priority. We need lists. We need to think about it. We need to see it as spiritual eating. We need to make lists. We need to make plans. We need to do a ClickUp list if you need. You go, "What does that mean?" Hey, there are apps. You can download apps and set prayer reminders for yourself. You can set prayer lists on your phone, whatever it might be, but making prayer a priority. One of the things we've talked about as a church for years, and the Ark and Church of the Highlands talks about, is pray first. Just this little idea of pray first. Before you send the text, before you make that decision, whatever it is, pray first. That prayer should be our first breath, or our first go-to, not our last priority. And we need to pray first. And I wanted to give you this idea as we talk about the priority of prayer, because sometimes prayer can feel so uneventful, right? We go like, "Well, I did pray first. I woke up and I prayed for a few minutes, but it just didn't feel eventful." Can I tell you something? There's something about small disciplined choices that have big returns. Small disciplined things, making prayer a priority, right? Like, you eat food and, you know, you eat a dinner, like, you probably can't tell me what you had for dinner like 3 weeks ago on a Wednesday, but it nourished you. And so you made a decision to eat, and it actually gave you a big return. It's just that it didn't feel amazing. You don't even remember it. And so here's the thing. We need to make prayer a priority in a similar way. We need to be actually making small disciplined choices, because I believe they have big returns. Some of you guys know that I am a runner. I ran a marathon last year. I'm actually training for a new marathon this year. I will talk about more of that up the road, but I was thinking about, as I was preparing for this marathon training, you have training partners, and you just have these like kind of small, seemingly inconsequential runs. Like, you'll go out for like 3 miles. And when you have to run 26.2, 3 miles doesn't really seem like it's that helpful. But if you run, you know, 3 miles four times a week for 16 weeks, which again, you got to amp up some of that to run some longer distances too. But so let's say two times a week for 16 weeks, that adds in a base, and that begins, those small discipline choices begin to actually have big returns. And I mentioned training partners because when you're training for a marathon, it's actually helpful to have the encouragement of someone else. And so as we talk about prayer, what if we could inspire each other like that for consistency in prayer? What if we could kind of become training partners for one another? And instead of expecting every time we close our eyes or bow our knees or bow our heads to God just to explode. So like, it's like I go out and run 3 miles. Like that wasn't explosive. It was just a small discipline, but it was consistency, and it's actually giving big returns. And what if we can encourage each other like that in prayer, that small things done with consistency over time become bigger things? And really, isn't it interesting that that's what the kingdom is all about? And when you read the scripture, you see that all over the text, don't you? You see a seed planted, a life laid in the ground and planted, sprouts up into something greater. You see mustard seeds, the smallest of the seed, becoming trees that birds can come and nest in. You see, don't despise the day of small beginnings. You see listening to the still small voice. Little things done consistently over time become bigger things. They yield big returns. And we give God the first of everything, the principle of the first. I talked about this a little bit last week, but I'll expand a little bit here. We give God the first of everything. We give him the first of our week. We Sabbath. We're a Sabbathing people. We're a people that rest. We have a Sabbath. We learn to do that. We learn to trust God in the Sabbath. We give him the first of our day in prayer. I pray that we're a church that we pray every day. I pray that we start our days in prayer. We give him the first of our money in tithes and offerings. We sacrificially give and we trust God with our finances, right? We tithe. And we give God the first of our year, 21 days of prayer, which we do in August right now, but we also do in January every year. We start our year, our calendar year in January off with prayer, and we start our fall year, our school year off with prayer. We do that twice a year, and we do that to give God the first. So you might be listening, you're like, Pastor Scott, I know you're talking about 21 days of prayer all the time right now, and you know, there's 15 one-hour prayer meetings over the next 3 weeks in the morning, 7 to 8 a.m., Monday through Friday, and Pastor Scott, you mean to tell me that 15 one-hour prayer meetings in the mornings for 3 weeks will change my life? Yes, absolutely, 100%. Yes. Yes, it absolutely will. It's like, oh, okay, Pastor Scott, you mean to tell me that if I go out 5 days a week for 3 weeks and I run a couple miles for 1 hour, I go run for 1 hour for 3 weeks, five times a week, that's going to change my life? Yes. Yes, absolutely. It will. And here's the thing. Prayer is so much more important than running. The Apostle Paul says, as he says, physical exercise is of some benefit, but spiritual exercise is so much more. That's a paraphrase. But training runs lead to marathons. Consistent prayer leads to life change. And so I want to ask you this question. Will you be in the studio here, or will you be in the Zoom room tomorrow? Will you be here in the studio, or will you be in the Zoom room tomorrow morning, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern time? And if not, why not? 15 one-hour prayer meetings will change your life. Prayer has to be a priority. That's number one. Number two is the place of prayer. So we make prayer a priority. It's the priority of prayer. And then the place of prayer. Now, of course, for the next 3 weeks, we'll be meeting together down here. We'll be meeting online. But when you're praying even on your own, the Bible actually gives us many models for this. The Bible says, when you pray, go into your room and close your door behind you. That's a place of prayer. The Bible says in Exodus 33 that Moses actually had what was called a tent of meeting, a place where he would actually go. It was a tent outside of the city that he would go to, and that was the place he met with God. And you know, it's so interesting, as I've had spiritual mentors in my life, I've learned that most of the mentors that I have that I highly respect in my life, we've had a conversation about their place of prayer. Where do you go to pray? And they all have a place. Now, of course, they pray all, you know, in lots of places, but they all have a place that is set aside kind of outside of their city, outside of, I don't mean geographically, like not in their city. I mean, outside of the run of their normal routine and daily life. It's a special place, a place where they meet with God. And let me just give you a couple thoughts here on the tent of meeting. Is you need a tent of meeting separate from your normal routine. In Exodus 33:7, it says this, says, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. He knew he needed a place outside the daily rhythm and routine in order to go meet with God." Here's another thing. A special visitation happens when we prioritize the tent of meeting. It says in Exodus 33:9, "As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses." Whenever he would go to that place of prayer, God would show up and meet with him in an uncommon way. I think that's so cool. Yeah, God meets me. I can pray all the time, but there's something about having a place to go meet with him where just over time he meets with me in special visitations. Here's another thought. There's an expectation of intimacy and communication that doesn't happen in the other places. Now, we're told by the Apostle Paul to pray without ceasing, so we should be praying all the time. But in the place of prayer, the tent of meeting, Exodus 33:11, it says the Lord would speak to Moses as one face-to-face, as one speaks to a friend. There was something special that happened in that place, that tent of meeting. Here's another thought, is that when we have a tent of meeting, when we have a place that we pray, we teach the next generation about the presence of God because they watch us in the tent. In Exodus 33:11, it says, "Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." Now, here's what's interesting. Tents are not soundproof. So if Joshua was out there, he was listening to Moses talk to God. Can I tell you something? Your basement, your recliner chair, your wherever you go to pray, it's not soundproof. I mean, maybe it is if you go out to, you know, a tree house or something, maybe your family or your roommate or your friends can't hear you. But can I tell you something? If you actually prioritize a tent of meeting, a place of prayer, it's not soundproof. People close to you will see it in your life. They'll hear it in your life, and it impacts them. And it says when Moses came back from his place of prayer, it actually inspired the next generation to continue to pray. I think that is so, so cool. I want to challenge our older folks, our mature golden agers, set the course. It's on you guys. You're the ones who set the pace. You're the ones that show the young guns how to do it. Hey, set the pace, show the way, set the tent of meeting. Here's something that's cool too, is time inside the tent paved the way for time with God outside of the tent. Verse 12 through 17, Moses is talking. It says, "Who will you send?" It says, "Teach me your ways." It says, "These are your people, not mine." God says, "I'll give you my peace and my presence will go with you." They're having an exchange about Moses' life. And when you go to the tent of meeting, God will talk to you about the times outside of the tent of meeting. You actually can talk with him about what he wants to do in your life in the times when you're not bowing your knee in the place of prayer. You know, as I've studied this again, I said so many of my mentors have places where they pray. John Maxwell, I've heard him talk about a rock that he said he would go to whenever things were really hard and he really needed to hear from God. He had a path in the woods that he'd walk to, and he said there was a rock. It was his tent of meeting where he would go and he would sit with the Lord. My pastor, Matt Keller, has a chair and a blanket that he goes to. He talks about at 3 a.m, he'll go sit in his chair and he has a Denver Broncos blanket and he will pray and he'll talk to the Lord. I know in other seasons I've had different places of prayer. In my old house, it was my basement, and I've shared this before, but I would go down in the basement so that I wouldn't wake up the kids, and I would pray and worship, and I would always worship with my hands up, and I would have to end up doing this when I would pray and worship because I was in the basement and the ceilings were short and I'm kind of tall, so I couldn't literally raise my hands up. So I ended up doing this. And then it's interesting because I would find myself in worship services in church doing this. Well, it was that my time in my tent of meeting, my basement, actually started to work its way into corporate worship in a church. And so that's the idea, you guys, is where do you go to pray? I can tell you that right now in my season, I have a white chair that sits next to an end table in our sunroom, and that's the place that I go to pray. Also, sometimes I will go in the summers or when in the nice weather, we have a little couch on our back porch, and I will go a little outdoor couch, and I'll go sit out there. But where do you go? Where's your tent of meeting? Matthew 6:6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." So where's your place? Where's your room? Where's your chair? Where's your tent? Where's your time? Setting the priority of prayer and setting the place of prayer. And then number three is you need a plan for prayer. You know, it's interesting. We think that like prayer should just happen. It's like, it reminds me a little bit, This isn't in my notes, but it reminds me of like a married couple. They get married and then like you think that what terms do I want to use here? Consummating the marriage. If you're an adult, hopefully you know what I mean. No, there's a biblical knowing one another in marriage. You think that that just happens because like in all the movies, like I guess it just happens, you know, but it's like the movies aren't accurate. It doesn't always just happen. It doesn't always just work. Like it takes practice. It takes time. It takes understanding. It takes listening. So, you know, it's interesting. Like we just think that just works. It's like kind of taking that idea over into the place of prayer. Like we think intimacy with God just works. We think it's just supposed to happen. We hear holy people, we hear pastors, we hear Bible teachers talk about their times with God and so amazing. And then we just think like, it's like watching a bad movie and then you get married and you're like, well, that's supposed to just happen. It's like, we hear people talk about prayer and they're like, it's just supposed to happen. It's like, it don't just happen. Like you need a plan. You need to actually think through it. You need to understand what's going to happen. So the plan of prayer. And here's what's beautiful about this. There's so many plans. There's so many ways to approach prayer. And we're going to spend the rest of this month talking about some of that. But having a practical prayer plan is a really, really important thing. And I mean, that could happen all the way down to the posture that you're in while you're praying. I know some people like to walk and pray or they fall asleep. So that's what they do. I know some people like to pray to music. I know some people like to pray without music. I know some people, they like to pray out loud. Some people like to pray very quietly. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is for your season, but it's having a plan and knowing what you need to do. Maybe you need to have music set up. Maybe you need to have your Bible and a journal. Maybe you need to, I don't know, but fill in the blank for you, but you need to have a plan. In Luke 11, the disciples go to Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray. And that's really, this whole series is really built on that idea, but he establishes patterns in the Lord's Prayer. He doesn't just tell them to say vain repetition of the words, although I shouldn't use the word vain there because repeating the Lord's Prayer isn't a vain repetition. It's actually very helpful. But he actually gives them established patterns in prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's actually a pattern of prayer. As you go through the Lord's Prayer, it's actually teaching you the patterns and the routines. It's a plan of prayer. And again, we'll talk about that more as we continue to move. But one of the ways, a simple plan of prayer, if you've never done this before, I'll give you two quickly. One is this, is presenting your praise, presenting your heart, and presenting your day. So one of the ways to have a plan for prayer is to start out and to present your praise. So just start out and just thank God for who he is, to thank him for his creation and for giving you breath in your lungs for another day, to acknowledge who he is. Present your praise. And then after that, you can present your heart. You can talk to him about what's going on in you. You can talk to him about, God, if there's anything in me that doesn't look like you or isn't pleasing to you, please reveal it to me. Bring awareness to me. And then, you know, present your heart. And then number three, and by the way, present your heart. That's the time where you can just pour it out. Like the Psalms, just lay it out. God's good with it. He wants to hear from you. And then number three, present your day. That's just the practicals. It's like, hey, God, I need you to meet a financial need here. God, hey, I need you to meet my son or daughter, my child here. Hey, God, I need help in this test in my school here. It's just presenting your day. So present your praise, present your heart, present your day. That's a simple pattern that you can work. It's awesome. There's another one. It's actually works off of the word pray. It's pause. So to pray is to pause, to rejoice, to ask, and then to yield. We're going to talk more about that again as we move through the month, but there's a pattern to prayer. We need a plan for prayer. So the priority of prayer, the place of prayer, and the plan of prayer. And I want to close with this today. As I was preparing, there's an old story that I heard. He's still around. His name is Nick Vivichik. He was born with no arms and no legs. And if you see him, he actually from the basically kind of like the hips up, he kind of waddles around. He has one little, what he calls like a club foot that comes off one side of his torso. And when he was younger, he tried to commit suicide just because of the physical limitations that he has. He ended up turning his life over to God, and God has done so much. He's now an international public speaker, inspirational speaker. He's really incredible, but he has no arms and no legs. And he actually told a story one time. He has children. He has a son. And he said that as a father, he actually will go up to his son, and that his son will run up, and his son will throw arms around his dad, Nick. And this was the line. He said, "My son gets to decide how long the hugs are." And I love that because Nick doesn't have any arms. So the son runs up, throws his arms around Nick, and hugs as long as the son wants to hug. And when I heard Nick share that, I was prompted and inspired thinking about our relationship with God in prayer. That the hugs, the intimacy, last as long as we want it to. That in the place of prayer, it's an open invite, that we're invited into the presence of the Father all the time. And that we get to decide the connection and the commitment that we carry into the relationship with our Father. And I want to be clear, this does not establish like salvation versus non-salvation, our amount of prayer. This does not establish the degree of God's love for us, but it does impact the intimacy that we have and the connection that we have with God, because we get to decide how long the hugs are. We get to decide how often we pray. We get to decide the priority and the place and the plan of prayer. We get to decide the value of prayer. And I pray that today this would both bring some instruction and also inspiration to challenge you to pray, because we have the ability to respond to the Father's invitation for our prayer life. So if we want to see God's kingdom come, you guys, in our life, if we want to see those thin spaces start to break in over our city and over our families and over our schools and in our own lives, we're going to need united prayer. That's the only way that it comes. And Jesus taught us how to pray, and we're going to continue to do that. I hope that I can see you tomorrow morning. I hope that you will take the step to respond and, I believe, change your own life. Hey, guys, God invites us. We get to decide how long the hugs are. Let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for everybody within the sound of my voice. And I thank you, God, for prompting us in prayer. I thank you for establishing and impressing upon us the value of prayer. I thank you, God, for inviting us. And I pray, God, that we'd be challenged and encouraged today, God, to establish how long the hugs are going to be. God, I pray that you would teach us, God, the priority of prayer, that we'd pray first. God, that we would establish our lives and set up our lives in such a way that, God, we put you first in everything that we do. And God, I pray then that you would give us a prompting for a place of prayer. God, I pray for each person, no matter whether they've got young children, God, whether they're single, God, whether they live alone, live with a bunch of people, whatever it is, there's always a place where we can pray. And so I pray that you would speak, even now, that you'd speak to each person within the sound of my voice about where their place can be. And God, of course, we know that we can pray to you all the time. There's not a requirement to have a place in order to pray. We can pray anywhere. But God, your word says that when we pray, we should go into our room and close the door behind us. And in the private place, God, you will hear us. And so I pray that we would have a tent of meeting. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, speak about where the tent of meeting is, the place of prayer for every person listening to the sound of my voice. And so God, I thank you for the priority of prayer. And then God, I thank you for the place of prayer. And God, I pray that there would be a plan for prayer, that you would continue to just show us, God, how to plan for the places of prayer. God, we've done all we can do as a church, but God, I pray that you would stir our church to respond to the plan for prayer, 21 days of prayer. We've got a plan. We're laying it forward. God, would you teach us how to pray? And God, I pray that over us right now, that you would teach us as a church how to pray. God, just like your disciples asked you, teach us to pray. God, I pray you'd teach us to pray. And God, I pray that as you teach us, that the spaces would become thin, that heaven and earth would begin to meet. And God, if we just did that a little bit, God, what would become possible? Spiritual awakening in our country and in our localities. God, I pray for spiritual awakening right now, God, in our schools and our workplaces. I pray for spiritual awakening right now in the families that are represented, that are listening right now. I pray for spiritual awakening in the lives of each and every person within the sound of my voice. God, I pray for spiritual awakening at Michigan State University. God, I pray for spiritual awakening in the K-12 schools of East Lansing. God, I pray for spiritual awakening in the greater Lansing community. Pray for spiritual awakening, Jesus, in your church, in your bride. God, we pray that the spaces would become thin. And we thank you for that, God. Teach us to pray. We get to decide how long the hugs are. Teach us to enjoy the hugs. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, guys, I pray that prayer would become like tiny towns. for you guys. And let's continue to do this. Love you guys so much. Hey, let's take this time into a couple moments of worship here. Let's turn our attention to Jesus and let's continue to ask the Holy Spirit to speak. What's the one thing that you need to hear from him the most today? And what's the one thing you need to do this week because of it? I hope that that one thing is joining in to prayer with us tomorrow. Make sure that you sign up. Again, so many ways you can do that, but go to the website, theelement.church, right in the main browser bar, right in the button on the right, or theelement.church/21days, or the app tile. Guys, we made it as easy as we can for you. Sign up. We'll send you all the info. We love you so much. Let's go into a time of worship together.